Leave here. Leave here. Sunday. Yom Aleph, Parshas Vayera. Yud Beis Heshvan, October 21st. It's the fifth year of the winter, Tav Shinai and Tes. And we're starting Derech Hashem.
The deeper aspects to Avodas Hashem. So now we were talking theoretically, and I mean this is also theoretical because it goes way beyond doing mitzvahs and avoiding averus. But it really, this really is the thing that would probably speak to most people, because he explains how the mitzvahs connects us to Hashem, and what's the deeper. Deeper purpose and connection of the mitzvahs in our what we call Avodas Hashem. So Perek Rishon, as he always does, he's very explains in his Hakadoma, he has to start from the bottom. Build your way up. So he starts with the Chelkei Avoda. This is the basis of the Avoda Hashem. We have Allah Avoda. The general part of our Avodah Hashem is Chalik Yusrich Halakim, is to us Echad, a Talmud, learning, Kini Maizah. Now, Talmud has two parts to it, which he implied, but he doesn't say it explicitly. There's learning as a mitzvah in itself, studying Torah, and then there's studying Torah to know what to do. Studying Torah to know what to do is the more minor aspect of Talmud Torah. It's just the means to an end. Obviously, you have to study to know what to do. Women who are potter from Talmud Torah have an obligation to study and to know what they should do. But then there's the Talmud that in itself, objectively, even if it is theoretical, even if it doesn't, it's just the learning Torah itself, being knowledgeable in Torah. And he'll explain that. Being knowledgeable in Hashem's Torah is a part of our Avodas Hashem. And Hamaisa doesn't necessarily mean a physical action. It can be Meisen that include Machshava also, things you have to think about, things you have to contemplate. Avas Hashem, for example, is not exactly a Meisa. It might manifest itself in Meisa when things come up, but the mitzvah itself is an emotion, is an attitude, is a feeling. So when he splits it up into Talmud, which is, he's talking about Talmud as an end in itself, but it's not, you don't seem to be doing anything. That's why he puts it in some category. You're learning Torah, you're becoming knowledgeable in Torah, studying Torah, and doing things. Hamayish Meshchalik Le'arboa, paragraph 2. There's four parts to Meshchalik. Ha'echa Tmidi, one is constant mitzvahs, constant thing or avoid doing. Hasheni Yomi, they come every day, but maybe only once a day, or twice a day, or three times a day, but there's specific times in it. There's a day. Hashlishi Zmani, the word is periodical. Our Yom Tovim, we call Zmani, we call periodical. Haravi Mikri, if it comes up, when you bake challah, you have to take challah. It's situational. If the situation wouldn't exist, you wouldn't have to do it for this one. In the given situation, you would have a mitzvah to do. But it's not imperative. You could go your whole life without doing that mitzvah if it never came up, if the situation never came up. So to get constant, daily, periodically, and situationally, we'll call it. Okay, paragraph Gimel, Hatmidi. This is a constant obligation. Now he only talks about Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. But we know, I mean, this is Ramchal, for some reason he chose not to refer to the six constant mitzvahs. They predated the Mar, the Ramchal. They're in the Chinuch. The Mishnah Brura, who was of course after the Ramchal, codifies them and brings them down. That's what I learned every bar mitzvah boy, the Sage Mitzvahs Tvidios. Many books in the last 5 years, 10 years maybe, in English, have been written about the six constant mitzvahs. Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz has a very fine book called The Six Constant Mitzvahs. Eric Coopersmith of Eishah Torah wrote a book on the six constant mitzvahs. And Gable, Rabbi, what's the name, Rabbi Cable? He wrote a book about the six constant mitzvahs. It's famous. You should know what they are. So he talks about two, Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. But the six are to believe in Hashem, and the Chinuch describes what believing in Hashem refers to. What does it mean in Hashem? What is Hashem? Who is Hashem? What are you believing in? And then there's not to believe that there's another independent power, that's a lav. And there's the asay, the achado, to believe he's one. And the difference between, there are differences between the lav and the asay, meaning the lav not to believe in another independent power, and the asay of believing that Hashem is one, which seem to be just two sides of the same coin. But there are differences. We're not going to go into it now. We're not learning the six competences. Then there's Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and then there's the Lo Sosuru Achrei Levavchem Biachrei Einechem, which is kind of heavy. It's very when people hear it, they go, "That's impossible to live up to. How could that be?" The Chinuch, you know, when you read the Torah, I don't know. Say Kriyat Shema every day, maybe you do, maybe you don't. The third parasha is about tzitzis, maybe you don't. But that's where this pasuk is found. You shouldn't follow the dictates of your heart and your eyes, meaning your desires. We'll just leave it at that. You shouldn't have thoughts that are foreign to the Torah, and you shouldn't have desires. So now really, if you read the pasuk, so that's one of the six constant mitzvahs. Now I want to explain what that means. Because every lot is a constant mitzvah, you might be asking yourself, I'm not allowed to kill someone every second. I'm not allowed to dwell with the Zorah every second. I'm not allowed to talk about Yomara every second. I'm not allowed to steal every second. That's not called a constant mitzvah, because the situation hasn't arisen. I don't get a reward on the stage right now. I'm not getting a reward. Well, maybe I am. I don't know. For not talking about Shinara. Because there's no Bechira for not talking about Shinara. It's not. I have no Oshinara. I mean, I have a lot of Oshinara to say, but I'm not a master. Yeah? And I'm not. My Bechira is not telling me not to kill someone now. My Bechira is not telling me not to talk Lashon Hara. My Bechira is not telling me not to steal. That's not constant, means constant, every moment. And at every moment I have to grapple with, so there's two lavin in the six constant mitzvahs. And again, one might think, but every lav is constant because I'm never allowed to do it. But that's not the case. We're talking about that you get schar for not doing it, that it's a mitzvah. Right now, although I'm not allowed to talk Lashon Hara, but I'm not grappling with it. I'm not being bocher betov. I'm not fulfilling v'charka v'chayim. I'm not doing the lav of Moser Tzach now by refraining from killing someone. The way you do a lav is by having a situation where it could possibly be done, where you are motivated to do it, and you overcome an urge and you don't do it. So you'll say, well, then I'm never going to get credit for Los Yerzach, because I never have that. So first of all, we obviously have no teenage children. And second of all, maybe not, but you can embarrass someone publicly, which is like killing them, and that we will have that urge to lash out at someone publicly. And I refrain from doing it. I just fulfilled a form of Los Yerzach, stealing, it's general, you know, dishonesty. It's like more than just pickpocketing you. But again, when you can't call any love a constant mitzvah, even though theoretically it's constant, because I'm never allowed to do it. Because a constant mitzvah means I'm always under its command. I'm always getting schach for not doing it, because I am choosing not to do it. And that's the launch. But there are two lavim. One is not to believe that there's an independent power other than Hashem. And that is, for our purposes, we'll call it the flip side of believing that Hashem is one. By the way, when you say believe Hashem is one, I don't want to turn this into a six. It means Hashem is the only source of everything. And this has to do with bitachon. This ties into the source of my illness is Hashem, and the source of my money is Hashem, and the source of my health is Hashem, and the source of everything in the world is Hashem. There is no other, there's nothing that happens if it's not emanating from Hashem's will. He is the only source of everything that is and everything that happens. And we do struggle with that. Every time we read a newspaper, every time we listen to the news, every time we think about the stock market going up or the stock market going down or having money, you know, we do tend to forget about Hashem. And, you know, he's not a player. Are we over the love? You know, I don't want to condemn everybody. But it's a constant mitzvah. It's a constant mitzvah. And I'm just saying mitzvah Hashem and Baruch Hashem doesn't always get you out of it. But it's constant, because you constantly have to remind yourself and work on not believing that anything else is the source of anything that happens to you. I mean, even if you're careless and you don't do hishtadlus, which people love, people are able to love if they have the wrong idea. People worship Abu Zara, it's called hishtadlus. They go, oh, you have to do hishtadlus. They say with a sigh of relief. They don't really believe in Hashem. So it's like with a sigh of relief. But Hishtadlus is just a command that Hashem told us we have to do. But the source is not my Hishtadlus. I'm not causing anything. Hashem is upset at me. It's like an Aveira, we'll call it. We've talked about this at great length over the years. Not doing Hishtadlus is an Aveira. That's all it is. It's not like, okay, now I can't earn money because I didn't do what you have to do to earn money. That's not true. You did an aveira by not doing what it has to do to ostensibly earn money. So Hashem has the greatest punishment in the world for doing this aveira. He doesn't even have to lift a finger, so to speak. He just has to let the consequences flow. But the source is Hashem. Do not fall into the trap of worshipping an Avodah Zorah called Hishtadlus, thinking, oh, Hashem gave me permission to worship this Avodah Zorah. And everybody like, oh, but Hashem, I don't have to. Hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is not a magic word that allows you to disassociate yourself from Hashem and disassociate yourself from the idea that everything that happens is the will of Hashem, and that's the only way anything can happen, and it cannot happen. It's not the will of Hashem. Hishtadlus is a mitzvah, a chiyuv, an obligation, as Chavitah Moses explains. And he explains why Hashem wants us to bother doing it if it's ultimately meaningless. It's just going through motions. So he explains why. He explains why it's vital and important and why Hashem wanted us to do it. But okay, so we struggle with that every moment. So that's not to believe in an independent power other than Hashem, not your spouse, and not your bank cards, and not the money in your wallet, and not the refrigerator, and not your boss, and not any connections you have. Nothing. Not your body. Right? That's what's in my body. You know, there's no guarantees from 1 second to the next. So that's constant. And that's the flip side, really, of believing in Hashem. Well, you talk about differences, and maybe one day we'll get into the differences. The subtle differences, but very clear. Subtle, but very clear. Los Asuru is, according to the Chinuch, is very, very tough. I am almost embarrassed to say it, because who doesn't violate Los Asuru according to the Chinuch? What am I talking about? If you read the Psukim, Los Asuru would just be an exhortation. Los Asuru, don't follow your desires. Don't have thoughts alien to the Torah, foreign to the Torah, and don't follow the desires of your heart. So now, it's not for the Chinuch, and I'm not sure everybody even agrees with the Chinuch. When you read the Psukim, they could easily be understood to mean as an added exhortation not to do averes. But Hashem wants me to do mitzvahs, he doesn't want me to eat tricks. So the surah of imagination means, don't be tempted to eat a cheeseburger. Don't be tempted to do an avera. You should not do an avera many times. A lot of times. Maybe we're living in a situation where the biggies don't cross our plate. But we face the Sionos every day with things we don't realize are biggies. They're all biggies, but the Chinuch goes way beyond that. The Torah could be saying, listen to my mitzvahs. Really, the Psukim do read that way. Look at your tzitzis, remember the mitzvahs, and make sure you do them. The tzitzis are a reminder to keep the mitzvahs. And you should not follow the desires of your heart and foreign thoughts. So you say, okay, it's talking about the 613 mitzvahs. Then it's not necessarily constant. This is my shtickl Torah. I hope I'm right. But the Chinuch goes way beyond that. It's embarrassing to say what the Chinuch understands the law to be, because yikes. Don't follow. Nothing you do should be because you want to do it. Everything should be because Hashem wants you to do it. Don't follow. And then the Chinuch explains this lot. And boy, is it constant. And I learned this with Bar Mitzvah boys, and I'm thinking, you know, they're like, I know what they're thinking. You know, I can't eat a piece of cake because it tastes good. And I can't. Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And really, but you have to, so you struggle with it. You're not going to be perfect from the age of 13, or in your case, 12. You're not going to be perfect, but you struggle with it. So what does it mean? You have to try. You have a desire to eat a piece of cake. Okay? Maybe you can put it aside for Shabbos, and be mechabe Shabbos with it. Maybe you can have more kavana when you make the bracha, because you're getting more pleasure from it, and you're appreciating that Hashem concocted this food, you know, that tastes so good, and you're appreciating Hashem more. So you not only make a bracha rishon, bracha achrona, like the drop off point between bracha rishon and bracha achrona, I figure, is around 85%. Maybe I'm being very harsh, but I'm not so off. And even if you make a bracha rishon, I'm not just bracha machalom, you know. So I don't know how else do you do it. Of course, you can do it by only eating healthy foods and not eating things like that piece of cake I just mentioned, because it tastes good, because it's bad for your body, probably, and you know. But that's like. That's like across the board. It's not just cake. It's any mosrus. It's anything you don't really need. So if you don't need it, like the only excuse we have, again, we're very imperfect beings and we struggle with this, but it is a constant mitzvah. How is Hashem going to look at us? Is he going to punish us if it's beyond our capability? I don't know. I'm not Hashem's secretary. I'm not his accountant. But it is a constant mitzvah. And again, it's a lav. And every lav is not a constant mitzvah. Don't kill is not called a constant mitzvah. Because it's not... I'm not doing lo sirtzach now. I'm not doing lo signo. I'm not fulfilling the lav by not doing it. Because I'm not... Bocher not to do it. And maybe I'll go through my whole life. Again, so you talk about embarrassing someone in public. Okay. But it's not constant. Because you don't constantly have a situation. But the Loso Suru is one of the constant mitzvahs, the Chinuch says. So, and the way he explains it, it surely is. Makes a lot of sense. Because he doesn't explain it what I think is the simple meaning of the pasuk, not to do averis. Listen to the mitzvahs, don't do averus, don't follow your desires to eat not kosher, or to eat questionable kashrus, or to lashon hara, or anything we do, embarrassing someone publicly, not, you know, plenty of averus. A man has, but it means way beyond that, and it seems like an impossible task, but that's what we're striving for. We're striving for it. We do things, we want to do things, and this is a din in Shulchan Aruch, and you know, people don't believe me until I show it to them. It's a siman in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, that everything you do, you have to do Lashem Shemayim. So I want to take a nap now. See, we don't think about it, but we have to arrange our lives, our mindsets, our perspective of life is in, I don't you know, consciously think about it. Hashem wants me to nap. Because I need the nap. Anything you need, Hashem wants. I mean, unless you're kidding yourself. When I'm talking about people who are kidding themselves. Anything you need, Hashem wants you to have. Once you hit what we call mosrus, that you don't really need it. And you really, really, really need an excuse. So Shabbos is a great excuse. Very pretty dress, good mishmak and cake, etc. Or a pretty dress, maybe a husband, shalom bayis. Okay, that's good. You have to be able to look in the mirror, so to speak, and say, Hashem wants me to do this. Without laughing. Without crying, I should say. So that's constant. So those two lavim are constant. Don't believe in another power, because that's constant. Don't believe that it's your boss. Think of it as the flip side of Hashem Echad. And Hashem Echad means he's the source of everything that is and everything that happens. Don't worship Hishtavos as a Bozazara. I like to say that because we do. We tend to. Okay, why am I bringing the six? Because those are the six constant mitzvahs. Now, what are the six constant? Let me talk about it already. Once the Ramchal brought it up, he only talks about two of them, and the six constant mitzvahs should be a series in itself. Like that's each one you could talk about for a long, long time, explaining what it is. I'm saying forum, good English forum. I've written it in the list. And yes, please, this is a very, very good friend of mine. So I'm not going to talk to him now. Hello, I can't talk to you now. I can't talk to you until 2:00. Yaakov is the guy that, who I think it is. Mother said, hey, my brother, help. I'm just kidding. Bye. What? In my shul, Beryl Thomas? In my Beit Shemesh? So do I know him? I'm his father. Well, your son didn't get engaged to him. This is a long time. Nothing. I have a very, very, very good friend from childhood, from 5 years old. Friends from 5 years old. This is Rabbi Steiner, Rachovos. He has a son that must be hitting old. And he's a funny guy. Brilliant, brilliant, but funny. Outside the box very much. And it's a source of aggravation. And he's getting older and older. He's pretty chassid. But I can't believe that Beryl Thomas is a daughter.
I can't believe it.
Did you hear that Beryl Thomas' daughter's engaged? I don't know. He just said, do you know Thomas? I can't. It's such a good show that I'll tell you now. Because he's a funny guy. I don't know. No, his son. I don't know if Beryl Thomas has a daughter. I don't know. Please, all I know is the name Thomas. No, no, my friend's son. It's my friend's son. Well, it must be a daughter if he's the son. Wait, this is like very, very exciting. This is my, I'm telling you, we're friends from 5 years old. And, you know, he's a Rav in Rehovos. He has a congregation similar to this one, a congregation of American Anglo-Olim. Except he's a real rabbi, I call it. I'm a... Beryl Thomas and Ramat Beit Shemesh? I can't believe it. It's a perfect shidduch. Why didn't I think of it? For your son, it's such a good... It's not Beryl Thomas from Ramat Beit Shemesh. Why did you bring up Beryl Thomas for them? Oh, I can't talk to you like that. No, 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 it's a mistake. He started talking to me about Beryl Thomas because someone asked him to get information about Beryl Thomas's daughter. And I conflated the conversation. Wow. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Hashem has a plan for everybody. His son is brilliant and so out of the box that it was not him to do it. And Israeli, like no English, everything was Hebrew and Israeli yeshiva bachar, it's out of the box, like forget it. And but really, I'm so happy for him. I'm not even going to the council.
So let me understand, this has nothing to do with...
No, no, Beryl, forget everything, erase. Etch-a-sketch, no etch-a-sketch, pick up that paper and erase everything. You know, etch-a-sketch, you pick up that paper and everything gets erased. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know etch-a-sketch. How do you not know etch-a-sketch? What do you do with your childhood? Okay. So now I want to explain something about the six kinds of mitzvahs since we're saying it. Because what does it mean, really? Because you can't go around... I mean, most people cannot go around thinking about six things. I have trouble thinking about one thing. Most people have trouble thinking about two things. And you have to walk down the stairs and not fall and not bump into anything outside. So how are you supposed to think about six things? So I explain, when I learned with the boys, I developed finally how to explain it, because when you have to explain something to a 13-year-old, it's amazing how you have to have total clarity yourself. And the pshat is like this, that you don't have to think about these things. This is my chiddush, but I'm convinced I'm right. You don't have to think about them, but it has to be the avira of your life, the background of your life. I don't know if avira means background, the background of your life. You know, everything you do, and to give an example like that, like I'm Jewish and I'm married, but I don't think about it every moment. I don't think I'm Jewish, that I'm Jewish. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not thinking about that I'm married. But everything I do in the day is like geared. Let's say I know I have to go home at night, so I'm married. Like everything I do is with that in mind. You know, there's and everything I do is because I'm. We do things because they're the background and the background is too soft a word. They're the atmosphere of my life. So that's what it means, the six kinds of mitzvahs. These six things have to be the oxygen of my life. It has to be, everything I do is based on and with the understanding that Hashem created the world and has a purpose in creating the world and is responsible for everything that happens and is the only reason that things happen. And I have to have Yiras Hashem, and I have to have Avos Hashem, and I have to work on Gulosus, and I have to have Gulosus Surah Achil Bacham Yachrei Nechem. And that has to be how I'm living. Really, the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, you know, he brings down the six constant mitzvahs, as they're called, as we know them, says that they are really the way we ultimately do. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Now the Ramah says Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit, who Chal Gadol the Torah of Amal Sasadikim. I'm laughing because, like, you know, how many times have I learned that? Like, you know, why not? I said, you know, that's a Hilchel of the Kim, and actually he turns it into a Musa Shemuz about Sneus. When you're at home alone and there's nobody else around, but you still have to be Tzanuah, because Hashem is a constant presence. So the Mishnah Berurah says, how do you be Allah? The Mishnah Berurah, same person. How do you do Shavis Hashem and Agdi Sambit? Like, well, what are you supposed to do? You get a piece of paper and everybody's looking at it, but Hashem's name on it. He says, this is Shavis Hashem and Agdi Sambit. You're constantly aware. I'm aware of Hashem. I'm constantly aware of Him. And then there's six angles to that. I'm constantly aware that there's purpose in the world. Again, I don't have to think about it. I'm convinced. It's impossible to think about it. I can't think about these six things. But I go through life, and I want to lead a purposeful life. That's what means Hashem created the world, because Hashem created it for a purpose. And if the world has a purpose, my life, Hashem created me also, and I also have a purpose. So I have a purposeful life. That's, yes, you have to live life that is purposeful. And you have to figure out the purpose, and listening to the mitzvahs, doing the mitzvahs, connecting to Hashem, that's the purpose. I'm not talking about the specific purpose of opening an out-of-town Kiruv Koilo in South Dakota. I'm talking about now the more general purposeful of living the way Hashem wants me to live and connecting to Him and loving Him and fearing Him. It's all part of how I live. I live with these things sort of always floating in the background or the foreground. So that's the six constant mitzvahs. That's just the way I understand the six constant mitzvahs. They are my Shavisi Hashem L'negdi Sama. They are the constant awareness of Hashem in the world, in my life, in my presence. He is always all these things. Los Asuru, like the absolute hottest. But it's a Siman HaShulchan Aruch, as I was saying. You know, the Siman HaShulchan Aruch. A person should do everything with Shem Shemayim. Everything a person does should be with Shem Shemayim. So it's like a HaShulchan Aruch. It's a Siman. So we try. So I don't know, you know, you have to figure out, you can't kid yourself. You have to figure out how, without kidding yourself, you can turn it around. Without kidding yourself, you know, Hashem wants me to. That's why Moisrus is really, the Lovus ends up saying that Moisrus is it pushes you away from Hashem. Moisrus is anything we don't need, we just want. So that's an elastic definition, I'm aware, you know, because again, you know, we're living in a world where a lot of things are indeed needs. It's changed, you know. My father's second wife, who was rich in Europe, had three dresses. Most girls had two, weekday and Shabbos. And she had two Shabbos dresses. And she was rich. Not that long ago, you know. $4. Here. Okay. I don't tell that to your daughter. Okay. Okay. So this is to me. I'm really straight off the subject today. The Ramchal, for some reason, only brings down two. Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. He talked about Emuna in the first section, and you know, some Rishonim hold Emuna is not a specific mitzvah saseh. It's so basic and so fundamental and so definitional to being a Jew that it's not even a mitzvah. It's the definition of a Jew. And of course you have to define yourself that way, but it's not even a specific mitzvah. Some Rishonim hold like that. But the Chinuch hold like the Rambam that it is a specific mitzvah. I mean, he also, the Ramchal and Chelek Aleph talked about how a person has to explore and be convinced that it's subtle, that Hashem exists, that Hashem made the world, and Hashem is responsible for everything that goes on in the world. You might not, the proofs of the Chodesh Halvavos, which is the Greek, I'll call it the Greek, the philosophical proofs that spoke to people in his days, call it the Greek philosophy, Arabic philosophy, doesn't speak to us at all. But there's other ways of connecting to proof, whether it's the plan and purpose that you see in every inch of life, every inch of everything. You see form and plan and purpose and chesed. And and then there's not to believe there's another that's just virtually the same thing, virtually part of that, and Hashem Echad. And then there's also Suru. Okay. Anyway, he talks about Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, which are very hard. With Yiras Hashem, Yiras Hashem is not hard. It's hard to do. It splits into two. I'm sure you all are aware. There's Yiras Ha'onesh and Yiras Ha'romimus. Yiras Ha'romimus generally is translated as awe. And then there's Avos Hashem, which very hard to achieve. You need to constantly think what Hashem gives us and how Hashem takes care of us and how all the good things in my life are due to Hashem. And people have sorrows in their lives too, so that's why it's not that easy. And Hashem embodies all the midos, tovos that there are. And Hashem is fair and Hashem is just and Hashem is good. And everything we say in Ashrei, except we say Ashrei a little too quickly, right? Well, so many descriptions of Hashem and Ashrei, and what does it mean to love someone? It's also a very, very, very difficult word to define, even if you just use English. Okay, you want to bond with that person, with the object of your love. You want to be around them. You want them to like you. You want to be part of their life. You want that you are part of their lives. You want to be around them always. You want to emulate them. It's all very difficult. Love is a very complicated emotion. Okay, so there's love and fear. But that's constant. And again, I believe constant means you might not be able to consciously measure, I don't know, you put a spiritual meter to my arm and measuring, it might not register a specific conscious Yiras Hashem right now. Let's even assume I have it. But it might not register a conscious one. It's more like I'm walking around with it. So if something comes up, someone wants to get a phone call, and it means I'm going to miss the Eishmei Rabbah by Mincha, so I have Yiras Hashem. Someone asked me last night, a teacher, it's very hard to teach girls, boys. So I want to teach them Emuna. I said, I'm 90% sure that they don't have Emuna issues. They're not sophisticated enough to have Emuna issues. They have Yiras Hashem issues. They want to do what they want to do. Why can't I dress the way a teenage girl wants to dress? A man can't understand the Yetzirah of that, but it's obviously very, very powerful. And I want to eat when I want to eat, and I want to sleep when I want to sleep, and I don't want to. It's not a moon, it's Yiras Hashem is the problem. And you have to make a curriculum, I said, for Yiras Hashem. That's what I said. I believe if you spot and spoke to them for an hour, they don't have a moon of questions, really. They have Yiras They want to live. Why do I have to do this? And what does Hashem care if I do this? And why do I have to do this? And why do I have to act like this? And why can't I do what I want to do? And why can't I talk to whom I want to? And why can't I dress the way I want? Like, They want to live a hefdinical life. You know, they don't want to be bound by the rules. That's not an emunah issue, really. And I'll close with the joke from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that I told this person I was speaking to. It's a very good joke. I hope you laugh. You don't have to laugh to make me feel good. So this person wanted to speak to him, this Kohen HaPikaros, this person that was living an irreligious life. So he wanted to come and speak to Rav Chaim. This is how the story goes. I don't know if the story is true or not, but this is a great story. I think it's a great story. And he comes to him and he wants to speak to him and he wants to present him with a list of questions. And he wants to debate with Rav Chaim or he wants to have answers. Rav Chaim says, no. He says, he asked him, why not? He said, if someone has
kashas, so I can give him a teretz. This person doesn't have kashas. He has terutzim. The terutzim I don't have a teretz to. I have a teretz to kashas. I don't have a teretz to terutzim. Okay.
Sorry, we didn't learn anything today.